I'm Tobin Heath.
And I'm Kristen Press.
We're World Cup champions, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Week in and week out, we sit down with sports legends, cultural icons, and global changemakers to talk everything from clutch games to causes that matter.
This is about creating the future of women's sports, a future that's honest, inclusive, and real.
Join us for our reimagined journey. Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
And here we go. The final hour, the power hour, here on You Better You Bet on a Football Friday as the World Cup continues, on a Friedel Friday as our good friend Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedel will join us in 20 minutes to talk about everything that went down between Jaylen Brown and the Celtics and his new home, the Philadelphia Sixers, and how it may be the new home of LeBron James as well. All that coming up in 20 minutes. I'll get you a bet for maybe the most interesting of the three World Cup games today. Coming up before we wrap up the show, plus our three stars of the day are all for our good friend Bill in Toronto. For those of you that missed it earlier in the week, Bill in Toronto called in very upset that we had not talked a lot of baseball on that particular day, and we're only talking about LeBron James, at least in the time that he had listened. So, Bill in Toronto, the three stars of the day will be for you at the end of the show. But while filling in for Nick for a couple of weeks here on You Better You Bet, I decided, sort of impromptu, I think it was after the Kyle Pitts extension and there was another tight end contract signed that is escaping my memory now, last week. And I said, hey, why don't we power rank the best tight end rooms around the league? And so we did that. And then the next day, I think we had some other piece of news come out. We said, why not power rank the best wide receiver rooms? So we did that. And so we've just gone through now position group by position group by position group and power ranked the top five around the NFL going into the 2026 season. I have reserved for next week the top five quarterback rooms, the top five coaching staffs, and maybe I think next Wednesday, the final day I'll be filling in for Nick here on You Better You Bet before I myself also go on an elongated vacation. I think we'll just do the best teams. How's that sound? That's next week. Let's focus on the top five running back rooms right now here on You Better You Bet. Going into the 2026 season with training camps 3 weeks away. And we were chatting about this during the break. I know it's supposed to be about the best running back rooms, but at this position, I always end up coming back around to some of the best singular talent. So four of my top five running back rooms are based in the fact that they have a singular talent leading the way at the position. Now, the backups figure into that, the complementary backs, obviously. But all but one of my top five are not 1-2 punches. That being said, number five is definitely a single lead back situation. However, the lack of depth behind him is what keeps his position group for his team down at number five, in my opinion. And that's the Buffalo Bills. Yes, I love James Cook. Okay? That's why I have the Bills ranked number five. I love James Cook. But what exactly is behind him if something happens to James Cook? What happens? If you got to go with Ty Johnson or Ray Davis or Frank Gore Jr., I think I'd rather have Frank Gore Sr. backing up James Cook. So I love James Cook, but eventually, as much as they run him, they're going to run him into the ground. Maybe it's not this year. Maybe I'm proven wrong. And the Bills running back room once again proves to be the best in the league. because of the singular talent of James Cook. But I got him all the way down at number five because I just don't believe in the depth behind them. Again, I'll open the floor to anyone else on the show to disagree with me after I give you my power rankings. Number four is the only 1-2 punch that I have ranked in the top five. And it's Kyren Williams and Blake Corum, the Rams. This is a really good 1-2 punch. Like, I considered vaulting them higher in the rankings because I love what Kyren Williams does as a dual threat back. And I also love Blake Corum. I think he's going to take another leap. I mean, he averaged 5 yards a carry last year, but I think he's going to take yet another leap based on some of the offseason stuff we've seen from him into year three. I think it's the best 1-2 punch in the league, Kyren Williams and Blake Corum. So I have the Rams at number four. Number three, and I went back and forth with the top three a good bit before I settled on this ranking. Number three, it pains me to put Jahmyr Gibbs behind anybody, but I have the Lions number three. Look, he's still the most explosive threat, I think, the most singular explosive threat of any running back in the league, Jahmyr Gibbs. But I think losing David Montgomery as the complimentary back to him is a big loss, especially when you consider the drop-off to Isaiah Pacheco. I'm not a fan of Pacheco, and I think that is a massive drop-off. I mean, if it leads you to using Gibbs even more somehow, then hey, I guess that can't be a bad thing. But inevitably, you're going to have reps that go to Pacheco, and I don't think he's nearly on par with Demo. So the downgrade from David Montgomery to Isaiah Pacheco as the backup or the complementary back to Jahmyr Gibbs keeps the Lions at number three for me. Number two, again, it's about a singular talent, a singular dual threat talent who I think is in a perfect opportunity to get used correctly this year. Maybe used, really truly used correctly for the first time in his career. Bijan Robinson in Atlanta. Kevin Stefanski comes in. And look, was Kevin Stefanski necessarily, is he necessarily worthy of coach of the year? I mean, I guess anybody that gets the Browns to the playoffs deserves that. But what I like about Stefanski is that he knows how to use backs. And the other part of this, too, is that whether it's Tua or Michael Penix Jr. as quarterback, I think with all the weapons in that offense, they're going to end up leaning on Bijan as a security blanket out of the backfield. And so I think Bijan is due to finally get used correctly and maybe have the biggest season of his career so far. And yet I still only have him number two. Who could I possibly have number one then? I'm not doing this. I know exactly what Kenny's going to say.
Well, Penn State.
Philadelphia. Saquon Barkley is due for a massive bounce back season. Massive bounce back season. And I really like the complimentary piece in Tank Bigsby, who averaged nearly 6 yards a carry last year. When they gave Bigsby the ball, he made things happen. And I like Tank a lot. I get the feeling that because he was a midseason addition last year, maybe Tank Bigsby wasn't all the way up on everything he had to do in that offense. And that offense was a bit of a cluster last year anyway. But if Sean Mannion can get Jalen Hurts to line up under center more, you've got a healthy offensive line. I know this is supposed to be the running back room in a vacuum, but I think Saquon is due for a massive bounce back season to really assert himself as the number one of all number one backs in the league. And so, plus, I think you may even see more 21 and 22 personnel, two backs from the Eagles this year as they lean more on the run game than they have at any point than the Jalen Hurts era, aside from their Super Bowl winning year. Huge Saquon year on deck, in my opinion. And so I have the Eagles with the number one running back room in the NFL. Just to review, Eagles 1, Falcons 2, Lions 3, Rams 4, Bills 5. Kenny, what do you think of the list?
I think you did a great job, Chris. Probably better than I did. I tried to put mine together in like a little two-minute span during the break there. And I put the Bills at 1. I know that the depth behind Cook isn't great, but the way they actually use Ty Johnson, he's their pass protector. He's big in the pass game, big on third down. I think the fact that they use the way that they use their running backs, also Ray Davis gets some carries. He's their kick returner, so they use him on special teams. The way that they use their running backs, I think they get the most out of them because Cook is also a bell cow as well. And then they also sprinkle in those other guys. That's probably why I put them at 1. But looking back, Eagles should be ahead of them because I think if you look at their three guys, they're better than Buffalo's three guys. And then all the Falcons, Lions, and Rams were my other three teams as well. But some teams I wanted to mention that I was curious if you thought about: Denver with their trio. Now that they drafted Jonah Coleman out of Washington, they've got Dobbins. Hopefully he can stay healthy. RJ Harvey, who they drafted last year, and now Jonah Coleman. The Patriots with Stevenson and Henderson. And then the Arizona Cardinals now, who have four running backs. I don't know if they're all going to make the roster, but you've got Jeremiah Love, you've got James Conner, you bring in Tyler Allgeier, and they still have Trey Benson. So I think that's a pretty good running back room that I think at least deserves an honorable mention.
So, yeah, the Patriots definitely deserve an honorable mention with Stevenson and Henderson. I think that's a good point. And I'll be honest, I thought about putting the Cardinals in at number 5 for a second, but because I've made clear my love for, well, Jeremiah, no pun intended. And James Conner being used in more of a complementary role is going to fit his style even better. Allgeier on some third downs, I think, is a great look. I think similarly to how you described the way the Bills use their backs, Kenny, I think the Cardinals could really find some well-defined roles for each of their backs. And you and I have shared, I think we have equal admiration for just a group of skill players that they have in Arizona. So I do really like the Cardinals as a strong honorable mention. And if you wanted to vault them into the top 5, it would just be a conversation about who you wanted to pull out of the top 5. Tyler, you mentioned an interesting option in the chat too. I'm a big Travis Etienne fan, Etienne, however we're supposed to say it now. But I don't know if we end up seeing Kamara with the Saints, and if we do, what it looks like with ATN and Kamara together.
Yeah, like on paper, I mean, that's probably as good of a duo as you're going to find in the NFL, but we don't know if Kamara's going to be on the team. And also, Kamara's like kind of going on the downhill a little bit, so I don't think you can replace any of those 5 teams that you put on the board. But I just think the Saints are interesting honorable mention, but honestly, I didn't even think of the Cardinals. I think Kenny was completely right about that. Maybe they should be on the top 5 and knock a team out. I didn't even think of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah, the Cardinals are a really good look. I mean, look, if you're talking about singular backs, like you can't forget the 49ers. You can't forget the Dolphins with McCaffrey and Achan. They're worth bringing up. Taylor in Indianapolis. But I think all of those teams have the same issues of depth behind their lead backs that we were talking about with some of these other teams. You could round out a pretty strong top 10. Derrick Henry in Baltimore obviously would be a part of that conversation too. But if we really started to dial in on like 1-2 punches, like Williams and Corum in LA, I think if Kamara ends up staying in New Orleans, maybe we could talk about Etienne and Kamara. Henderson and Stevenson in New England are definitely worth talking about. And I think Arizona would be up there as well. Kenny is trolling me in the chat by typing in Dowdle and Warren. I actually think that's going to be a pretty good 1-2 punch. The problem is they're way too much like each other. They lose Kenny Gainwell, 2025 Steelers MVP, Kenny Gainwell, by the way. And they lose that ability. Warren can catch some balls out of the backfield, but not the same way Kenny Gainwell was a security blanket for Aaron Rodgers last year.
What about Swift and Manungai? Okay, now I'm trolling. No, I'm just kidding. They're pretty good, but Ben Johnson is really what makes them good. That offensive line and Ben Johnson, I mean, they're good players, but I don't think that they had the years that they had last year without the offensive line in front of them with Ben Johnson calling plays.
Fair, but if that offensive line is supposed to be better, like we argued about offensive lines the other day, and you and Bill both stood up and raised your hands for the Bears, like, okay, if the Bears' offensive line is going to be that much improved, maybe Swift and Menungai are that much improved. I think they've got to find more defined roles for Swift and Menungai. Like, that's the thing. When we talk about 1-2 punches, I think a lot of it does have to do with, do you have a defined role or do you know exactly how you want to use the 1-2 punch? That's why I keep coming back to Arizona. I think, just to be clear, I know we're gassing up the Cardinals here, and we have at times during this offseason because of their skill position players, but the Cardinals are going to suck this year. I want to be real clear about that. Like, I'm not sitting here picking the Cardinals to be like a dark horse wild card team. The Cardinals, because of their schedule, I think are going to struggle to win 5 games. But I do think they have the building blocks at the skill positions that they can figure out who the hell they are this year on offense, at least. So there you go. Philly, Atlanta, Detroit, the Rams, the Bills, all worthy of top 5 recognition, however you want to slot them. And then we threw a couple other options out there at you, including the Patriots and maybe even the Arizona Cardinals. I am all in on Jeremiah Love having an immediate impact at the NFL level. We'll see if it happens or not, but maybe I'll be proven totally wrong. I don't. Again, I think they've got a chance to lean on him and the rest of that running back group and Marvin Harrison and Trey McBride. They're still not going to win more than 5 games. I don't want to get out over my skis on the Arizona Cardinals. Coming up next, just how bad was the Jaylen Brown trade? And does it make sense to talk Philly when we talk LeBron James' possible destinations? We'll talk to our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedell. That's next right here on Westwood One Sports.
NBA free agency officially opens on Monday. Will your team make the needed moves? We'll tell you which way the ball is bouncing. And the big names signing the big deals. Westwood One Sports.
And Doug.
Hot dog! Get your hot dog!
Customize! Customize and save with Liberty Mutual.
Hey, what are you doing?
I like your method. Direct. To the point. A little loud, but...
Listen, people don't buy car insurance the same way they do hot dogs.
Not yet, but both are customizable.
Popcorn! Get your popcorn!
Hey, this is a hot dog area.
And customize and save area.
Get a quote at libertymutual.com or with your local agent.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Hi, how can I help?
Well, my husband and I feel like we've outgrown our current money manager.
I see.
Our lives have changed, and we need something more than just mutual funds to help us in retirement.
She's right.
I hear that often. At Fisher Investments, we'd start by getting to know you, your finances, family, health, lifestyle. We tailor a portfolio around your goals and needs.
Sounds good.
Can you help with estate planning?
Yes. We have a team of specialists who can help you with estate planning, Social Security, investment income, and more. We'll get to know your whole financial picture and help keep you on the path to a comfortable retirement.
And your fees?
We have a simple, transparent fee that's a percentage of the value of your portfolio. So we do better when you do better.
I feel better already.
At Fisher Investments, we're clearly different. Learn more at fisherinvestments.com/different. Investing in securities involves the risk of loss.
And the match is about to begin.
Most of the team is out with COVID-19, so there'll be some substitutes tonight.
What's this? We have an unexpected guest on the field.
It's a dog, but they could do with extra players.
She's going for the ball.
Are front paws hands or feet?
Soccer season is full of surprises, and COVID-19 could be one of them. If you test positive, prescription medications may help. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Learn more at Pfizer for All.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
Oh, breaking news. I don't know if it's breaking news. It'll just feed the rumor mill a little bit. A report on Twitter this morning that a private plane from Philadelphia landed at Canton Akron Airport at 7:06 a.m. They're going to Akron to snag LeBron. Look out. We'll talk to Odyssey NBA insider Nick Friedell in just a moment here about where LeBron goes. What makes the most sense? Is that what LeBron will do in the end? Rich Paul diagramming things on a whiteboard, talking about which teams make the most sense. Is there a dark horse in this whole thing with Minnesota? Or does it come down to, as Nick reported earlier in the week, Cleveland, Golden State? That's the decision. Now, Nick did report that, I believe, before the Jaylen Brown trade, which has sort of opened the door, the possibility of LeBron considering Philly. Again, for those that haven't gone and checked out the screenshots and the videos, the clips on social media, if you're all in on this LeBron search, which we were earlier this morning, go check out, what's it called, Game Over with Max Kellerman and Rich Paul, where they literally busted out a giant whiteboard with LeBron's name in the middle and a bunch of spokes coming off of the hub of that wheel, pointing to different teams that could be possibilities for LeBron James. I stand firm in the fact that if he really wants to compete for a title, he could do no better than Philly, the way that Sixers roster is now constructed. But I think that would take swallowing some salary slash financial induced pride for LeBron. But if it's really about chasing the ring, Philly makes a ton of sense. Before we get into LeBron, though, let's welcome in Odyssey Sports NBA insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls brought to you by Hyundai and the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Let's start with the thing that maybe opened the door to LeBron considering a move to Philadelphia, Nick. And let's start with the Jaylen Brown deal to Philadelphia from Boston. I said when it first happened, and look, there are a lot of stories in sports that require some nuance, and, you know, you got to dig a little deeper before you have a true opinion on them. This is not one of those stories. This, in my opinion, is one of the worst trades in Celtics, if not NBA history, and one that could end up costing Brad Stevens his job. It feels like his Nico Harrison moment.
Ooh, I don't know if it was full Nico, but it has not been received well across the league at all, Chris. And I think for me, the first thing that popped out after you realize, whoa, okay, they actually did it, is the Celtics wanted to get out of the Jaylen Brown business that bad. And as good of a player as he is, and maybe he becomes even better in time, a finals MVP, something is going on there behind the scenes that the Celtics would sit there and go, okay, we're going to make this deal. We're going to make it right now, and we're going to get back the best return we can. Two future firsts and 2 seconds and taking on Paul George. Okay, I guess. Done. And that, to me, is where I was like, what is happening back there? Because you're right. On the surface, what is Brad Stevens thinking? This is a guy who helped deliver them to a really solid season last year, but I would also tell you, and I know my old friend Bobby Marks got absolutely crushed for at least the full quote of the analytics that everybody bounced around in a much longer interview, but there are people around the league when you talk to front offices that are like, you know, Jaylen Brown's a really good player, but is he the number one guy? Is he the guy that you're going to build around for years and years? There's definitely debate about that. So he has a chance to go to Philly now and prove everybody wrong, and the Sixers are lined up absolutely. What would scare me, and we can get into the layers here, but you're banking still on Joel Embiid staying healthy in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody should bet on that, but as far as this deal goes, time will tell. And that deal, I think, scared off lots of people because if you're paying Jaylen Brown $65 million a year, that's kind of the cost of doing business down the league. I get it, but he's got to stay at the same level year after year after year. But on top of the shock value, I went, something has to be off in that balance in Boston to have a guy that you drafted, you developed, and you moved out anyway.
Yeah, I wonder what that other aspect of the relationship was between Jaylen Brown and the Celtics organization. Because on his Twitch stream yesterday, he made it clear to not totally defend Brad Stevenson, but he said, hey, you know, some of the lines of communication with Brad weren't great, but I think there's more to it, sort of alluding to someone or something else in the organization that may have helped push him out the door. I just think when you go from, and I got this sense from everything that Jaylen said yesterday too, was when you go from, hey, we may have to move you to acquire Giannis, I think Jaylen Brown would have been somewhat accepting of that as long as there was a third team involved that he landed with that he felt good about. And then all of a sudden you pivot to, all right, we're not landing Giannis. We're re-signing Nemias Kedah, which happened this morning. And the pivot move is to still trade Jaylen Brown, but to bring in Paul George. I've seen people allude to it as a salary dump. That doesn't quite compute for me, but it's a very strong pivot away from, no, we're all in on winning a title every year to, okay, we're taking a half step back in an Eastern Conference where annually for the last 10 years, really, we've been right there at the top.
Chris, I can't disagree with any part of it other than to say Jaylen Brown is one of the most polarizing players in the league because on the surface, you see finals MVP, you see a guy who plays a lot, especially in these last couple of years, who produces. You see all the things that you would want in a player that you are building around for the long haul. The second part to that, though, is there are a lot of people who sit there and say, all right, Jaylen Brown is a heck of a player. But there is that debate. It's not just analytics. It's when you talk to people in various different positions across the league. You say, okay, well, what about Jaylen Brown? And they go, yep, nice player. But is he the difference maker over and over again? And there is question to that. Now, the part that we've hit on already and we'll be talking about for years, he has the chance to show everybody that they were wrong. The Celtics and Brad Stevens, the people that say, oh, he's not a numbers guy. Look at the advanced statistics. They're lying to you. He has a chance to prove everybody wrong and say, you didn't understand the type of style that I had and you took me for granted. Great. All I can tell you is, and the reason I don't think it's a full Nico, is because Luka is a true superstar. He took a team to the finals. He is the guy that's going to fill the seats across the league night to night. Jaylen Brown won a finals MVP, I understand, but is he that number one guy every night? And I think that's where the divide is. And to your point about the Celtics, that's why they said, all right, the relationship is bad enough that we're going to make this move right now. So knowing Joe Mazzulla and that staff, I think if he can stay out there, Paul George is going to fit fine. But I understand all the fervor because people are saying, what the hell are they doing? And maybe this is all going to blow up in their face over the next few years.
As the Sixers are currently constructed, we'll get into the rumors about how they may be constructed in a second, but as they're currently constructed, what does this do for them? I think it vaults them right up there to the top of the Eastern Conference with alongside the Knicks, with maybe the Raptors acquiring Kawhi back and the Pistons right there on a tier just below them. But like you said, as long as Embiid is healthy, which I understand is a huge caveat, they've got the makings of a lineup that I think can go deep into the Eastern Conference and maybe, depending on how the chips fall, even to the finals.
I agree in that they vaulted themselves way up to the East. Where I hesitate, Chris, in saying they're in that top tier or still close to it is I've watched the Embiid experience for too many years. And I think that in the regular season, you have so much talent now, and you have guys in theory that are going to be out there a lot where they can rack up plenty of wins. And you and I are going to be talking about, ah, the Sixers, they're hanging in there. You know, they're coming together and they have guys who seem to on paper fit with each other. But the next part of that is, in order to win in the postseason, you have to have depth, which clearly they've gotten more of in the last few days, and they've gotten guys who you know can play. But you've got to have guys that you can lean on night after night in the playoffs. And that is why, at least in the conversation about the Sixers, I just don't buy it, because I do not buy that Embiid, at this stage of his career, can be healthy night after night in the playoffs. I mean, look back to 6-7 weeks ago at this point. They roll through the end of that Celtics series, and you go, whoa, this is the Sixers team we always thought we were going to see at some point.
Right.
And Embiid was dominant at the end in Boston. It's possible. Chris, he could barely move up and down the floor in that next series against the Knicks. So does Jaylen Brown absolutely help and take some of that weight off? Sure. But you're always banking for, well, how do they look in April, May, and June? And as I look at this Sixers team, I still think they have the fatal flaw in place, which is what they're banking on is Embiid playing at that same level every night for 2 months. And I don't think that's possible anymore.
Nick Friedell with us, Odyssey NBA Insider. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai and by the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Learn how it makes every day epic at HyundaiUSA.com. Now, the next level to this is what the Sixers could possibly look like if they are able to attract LeBron James. That is, in my opinion, and look, I've said it many times, LeBron James is not the keystone piece any longer to a championship lineup. He would be a great cherry on top of this sundae, though, and a starting five of Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown, James, and a healthy Embiid sounds like a championship caliber lineup.
Yes, it does. And I came on to talk to you, I'm breaking down the Rich Paul board with Max Kellerman going, okay, you've got all these things written out. And a few days ago, I didn't think there was any question. It was either going to be the Cavs or the Warriors. Then the Sixers made the trade that we're talking about. And you go, oh, well, that makes lots of sense. And I always thought if money was no object, the team that made the most sense was San Antonio, because you plug LeBron next to Wemby and you go, ah, okay, well, they look pretty ready-made to make another push next year. The messaging has been a little confusing, though, in the last few days, because when he doesn't come back to the Lakers, it was, well, LeBron is just looking for basketball happiness at the end. And he just wants a chance to go somewhere and really enjoy what could potentially be his final year. And you think, all right, well, there aren't many better places for happiness than playing with Steph Curry and being in Northern right. California, where you're going to play golf all the time and drink a lot of good wine. And then in the last couple of days, it's like, oh, no, there are these other choices, and Philly made all these moves, and, you know, Cleveland still is sitting there as home and would be the perfect bookend to the beginning, the middle when they won a title with the Cavs, and then the end. So to try and read into all the speculation that they are clearly trying to drag out now and get some more hype around, who knows what he's going to end up deciding. But Chris, to your point about Philly, it makes a whole lot of sense when you look at what they have in place now as well. The only thing I'd caution is I wouldn't go mortgaging any kind of future assets to go land LeBron for a year, because by all rights, this is probably going to be it. If he wants to come and play on your team, great. If you're making corresponding moves to add a guy who's 41 years old, even as great as LeBron is, that's where I think it gets a little sketchy.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's up to LeBron what's most important at this point, really. Is it money? Because he's probably playing on the vet minimum in Philly and not much mm-hmm. more. Is it, like you said, happiness and, you know, playing with Steph and Draymond in a place where he's comfortable and feels good? Is it, you know, bookending the career, like you said, in Cleveland or maybe even in Miami? Pat Riley said he's leaving the key under the doormat for him. Or is it really about chasing the title, you know, and it's up to him and his priorities. The one thing that we thought was interesting as we were doing the same thing earlier in the show, breaking down the Rich Paul whiteboard from the podcast with Max Kellerman last night, is that he mentioned LeBron wanting to go somewhere where he can help a young team learn how to think the game of basketball, a young team that's already strong defensively. And you alluded to the Spurs already, but San Antonio doesn't seem to have any interest. And the one team that jumped out that was on the board as one of those spokes off of the hub of the wheel that was LeBron was Minnesota. That is a relatively young team that's still looking to get over the hump, but knows how to play defense. Is there any realistic shot at the T-Wolves being a part of this, and what would that look like?
Hey Chris, I think if they were on the board, it's a realistic possibility. Yeah. If you have made the Rich Paul board, then I think you have a chance in context to the chase of LeBron in the summer of 2026. It would surprise me if he went to Minnesota, just because if you had your choice to live anywhere for a winter, why in the world would you go live in the tundra that it is Minneapolis for months at a time? Now, all the Timberwolves fans listening to us are going, oh, but Ant Edwards, and you can try and build a team, and they got LaMelo, and oh my gosh, why not? You know, okay. But if I had my choice and I could live anywhere and money was no object, the last place I'd want to be from like November to April is Minneapolis, Minnesota. And I say that lovingly because I've got a ton of family there and I love going. But if you have all these different options and any team would love to have you, that one to me would be a stunner because, yes, they have young talent in place, but so much of this, it seems, is the happiness aside from just basketball. And that one would really send shockwaves through the league. But I'd also tell you, I don't think that Minnesota, for the moves they have made, are still that close. And if you're trying to win a title, there are much better options for them to go win a title. And if you're trying for happiness, then the Warriors are the place. If you're trying for, all right, well, my career started in Cleveland and it should probably end in Cleveland, well, that's there too. So he could go off the board, but that would be a true stunner.
Nick Friedell with us here on Westwood One Sports, talking NBA offseason, especially the LeBron James sweepstakes. Golden State has kind of put, I don't want to say put their offseason on hold. They've made some depth moves, but they've got to work out a deal with Draymond Green that I imagine is contingent, what they're willing to give Draymond upon what they may or may not have to give LeBron to come in. Just how comfortable is Golden State sort of sitting and putting their offseason in a holding pattern until they get a response from LeBron?
Chris, I was shocked yesterday at the angst within the Warriors fan base when Anthony Simons' deal went through and he's going to Philly, and you've got Warriors fans just going absolutely ballistic. Oh my gosh, could have had Anthony Simons. Are you kidding me? Like, Anthony Simons scored 14 points a game last year and he's a nice piece off the bench. I think people have just kind of lost their minds. If you have the chance to sign LeBron, and while, again, if we're trying to read the tea leaves of the whiteboard, it certainly doesn't sound like they're the favorite by any stretch right now. But if you have the chance, you wait to see. And let's get real. The Warriors aren't winning a title even if they land LeBron. They're landing right. The hype machine, and it's going to be fun as hell to be around with Steph and Draymond and Kerr. Great. But they're not winning a title. So everybody who follows that team, they need to take a really true deep look in the mirror and find some perspective, because when Jimmy Butler got hurt, that changed everything. And that's what happens in pro sports. When your max deal guy goes down, things change immediately, and that is what reality is hitting right now for the Warriors and that fan base. As far as Draymond goes, there's no way, Chris, he doesn't opt out knowing that they'll take care of him on the back end. I mean, you figure at this point it's got to be a two-year deal. It's at a lesser number, but he's one of the reasons that they have four rings, and he built the culture with Steph and Klay Thompson. So He'll get taken care of, and who knows what happens with LeBron, but the absolute fervor over Anthony Simons and what happens with the money if LeBron doesn't sign, that is a stunner. This team was for at least but it's one that everybody needs to accept now moving forward into the
July weekend, my friend. We'll catch up again soon.
But talk to you.
Odyssey inside. See in a brought to you by Hyundai and the all new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. I think there's a good point made there by Nick about going to Golden State doesn't win LeBron a title. And I wonder if in the last few days, not just via the Jaylen Brown trade to Philly, but maybe just talking with people and having a change of heart, LeBron James hasn't come back around to, okay, maybe it's not just basketball happiness I'm looking for. Maybe it's not just bookending my career in a storybook fashion in Cleveland, or like I said, maybe even Miami. Maybe it's what LeBron is focused on. And like I said, the only place that makes sense to me is Philly. Coming up, we'll recap the best moments of the show with our three stars of the day. Plus, I got a bet for you for some football later tonight. That's all next here on Westwood One Sports.
Jaylen Brown is headed to the city of brotherly love. The Celtics are trading the former Finals MVP to the Sixers for Paul George and a bundle of draft picks. Does the addition of Brown make Philly a legit challenger to New York in the East?
Westwood One Sports.
In the automotive industry, time and trust mean everything. Miss an electrical problem, and it can mean big problems for your operation. That's why NAPA believes in testing the five critical components in every vehicle: the battery, starter, alternator, relay, and serpentine belt. And why we deliver the parts, tools, and expertise you need to catch problems before they become breakdowns. So test every vehicle and trust the name that keeps your bays busy and your business moving full speed ahead.
NAPA know-how!
Doug.
Limu and I created a trick to help you remember that you can customize your car insurance and save with Liberty Mutual. You see, the shirts Limu and I wear are yellow, and yellow is the color of lemons. And lemons grow on trees, and trees provide oxygen, and oxygen helps us breathe, and breathing is how you live, and you can live more life when you save money by customizing your car insurance. I agree, Limu. It's really quite simple. Only pay for what you need at LibertyMutual.com.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Empower!
Ellie here is getting the sleeve she's always dreamed of. She worked with Empower and planned for her next move, so she got good at money. Now she can be a little bad. Oh, by the way, you spelled journey wrong. No worries. She can afford the cover-up, too. Ooh, check out my tat. It says, invest well, live a little. Start today at Empower.com.
In 200 feet, turn right. Then apply to refinance your auto loan with Navy Federal Credit Union.
Huh?
Navy Federal offers low rates that can help you save every month on your auto loan.
Wow, I can get all that with Navy Federal?
You sure can, good buddy.
Refinance your auto loan with Navy Federal to get on the road to better rates. Learn more at NavyFederal.org/auto-refinance. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Six, sponsored by Coast One Financial Group.
Welcome back to You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on Westwood One Sports.
The summer of soccer continues today, 2 Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, so just a little more than 2 hours from now. Australia, Egypt, then later, 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific, you got Argentina against Cape Verde. Tonight, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific, you got Colombia against Ghana, round of 32 knockout matchups. I mentioned Argentina, a massive, massive favorite in their matchup against Cape Verde, minus 700 favorites to win. I do like Lionel Messi to score a goal, but that's minus 220 at BetMGM. I would probably go Messi to score two or more at plus 220. That's the one I like. He's had multiple goals in two of Argentina's three group stage matches. That's where I'm going with the World Cup today. If you want to get in on the action, get inside your BetMGM account right now, and you can get an early payout for a two-goal lead by placing a pregame bet on any World's Game match. If your team takes a two-goal lead at any point in the game, your bet pays out as a win. And then the winnings are yours, regardless of the final outcome of the game. Download the BetMGM app today. Please gamble responsibly. All right, our three favorite moments of the show. This set of three stars specifically built for our friend Bill in Toronto, who is tired of hearing about LeBron. Let's go. Three stars of the day.
Three.
I mean, if one thing you know about Philly fans, they don't care about anybody besides their home teams. And I respect it, and I love that. And I've played here, obviously, for 23 years, you know, a lot more when I was in the Eastern Conference. But to be able to have an appreciation for the city of brotherly love and for me to go out and still play the game that I love and, you know, respect it, whatever the case may be, if they do, you know, it's pretty cool.
That was LeBron earlier this season when the Lakers went to Philly and beat the Sixers. Sounds like a guy, I heard the word appreciate multiple times. Sounds like a guy who would appreciate the rabid fandom of Philly fans. Still makes the most sense as far as I'm concerned. Our number two star?
Two.
Philadelphia, everything changed.
Do they have his attention as Windhorst is reporting?
How could you not have the attention when you have Maxey, Edgecombe, Brown, and Embiid?
They're missing. All they really need here is a power forward who can think the game and shoot.
That's why he's in the middle.
Rich Paul and Max Kellerman on the Game Over podcast. We broke that down in detail, some of the clips from it earlier in the show, including that one. I mean, the Sixers are right there as one of the spokes in the wheel of all of the teams, all of the lineups, I should say, that are attractive to LeBron James and Rich Paul for him spending his final year with and maybe chasing a championship. So, again, LeBron to Philly. Not to beat a dead horse, but here's our number one star of the day.
One.
Who knows what he's going to end up deciding, but Chris, to your point about Philly, it makes a whole lot of sense when you look at what they have in place now as well. The only thing I'd caution is I wouldn't go mortgaging any kind of assets to go land LeBron for a year because, by all rights, this is probably going to be it.
Nick Friedell, our Odyssey NBA insider, just a few moments ago here on You Better You Bet, talking about Philly bringing in LeBron and what that looks like from the Sixers' perspective. Not mortgaging too much of their future. I've said it. If LeBron's going to go to Philly, it's going to be on something close to the veteran league minimum. He's going to have to push aside any kind of financial or salary-induced injury to his pride and say, screw it. It's really about going out and winning a title. That's why I think Philly makes the most sense right now. That was for you, Bill, in Toronto. Westwood One Sports, the place to keep it all weekend long. Happy 4th of July weekend. Happy 250th birthday, America. Go enjoy it. Enjoy it responsibly and carefully and within reason. We don't need you losing any fingers. We don't need a JPP. We don't need a Najee Harris. Have a good time this weekend, but be smart about it. We will be back on Monday, 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, in the run-up to the U.S. round of 16 matchup against Belgium. Plenty to talk about then. Enjoy your weekend. I'll also be here Sunday with Kate Constable on BetMGM Game Day. Thanks to the crew. This has been You Better You Bet.
This is Westwood One Sports.
Hey, I'm not one to say I told you so, but do you remember last year
when I told you that Pure Talk was hands down the best wireless company that I'd ever used? Well, some of you were skeptical, but Consumer Reports just asked 120,000 people to rate every wireless company in America, including the big boys. Well, guess which company was the only company to get 5 stars in every category? Yeah, Pure Talk. Coverage, support, value, data. 5 stars across the board. No service contracts, no cancellation fees, just great U.S. customer service on a crazy fast 5G network for a fraction of what you've been paying. I'm not going to say I told you so, but I will encourage you one more time to dial #250, say Micro, and switch to a 5-star American wireless company that won't let you down.
To diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition.
You're listening to Westwood One Sports on WFAN-FMHD2 New York. And
make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.